It's the Book of the Month on Southside Broadcasting with Jenny Finch and a team of top writing talent.
This month's book is The Black Echo by Michael Connolly. First published in 1992, The Black Echo is the first of Michael Connolly's hugely successful books about Los Angeles detective Harry Bosch. Bosch is a true maverick, a detective who's been suspended and demoted, sent from the elite robbery and homicide squad to Hollywood Station, a posting referred to by other officers as the sewer. But Bosch is more than another cliché cop. The book opens with the discovery of a body dumped in an outlet pipe in the hills near Mulholland Drive. Bosch recognises the victim and does not accept the immediate assumptions of the attending patrolman that this is a routine case of drug overdose. Defying his superiors and all the pressure the department can bring to bear, Bosch continues to investigate the death, running foul of the FBI and internal affairs, in his determination to find the truth.
Bosch hung up before his partner could ask any questions. He lit a cigarette and leaned on the phone booth while watching a small group of people walking in a circle on the long green lawn in front of the building. They were holding up homemade signs and placards that protested a proposal to open new oil leases in Santa Monica Bay. He saw signs that said, "Just say no to oil, and isn't the bay polluted enough?" and "United States of Exxon," and so on. He noticed a couple of TV news crews on the lawn filming the protest. That was the key, he thought. Exposure. As long as the media showed up and put it on the 6 o'clock news, the protest was a success. A soundbite success. Bosch noticed that the group's apparent spokesman was being interviewed on camera by a woman he recognized from Channel 4. He also recognized the spokesman, but he wasn't sure from where. After a few moments of watching the man's ease during the interview in front of the camera, Bosch placed him. The guy was a TV actor who used to play a drunk on a popular situation comedy that Bosch had seen once or twice. Though the guy still looked like a drunk, the show wasn't on anymore. Bosch was on his second cigarette, leaning on the phone booth and beginning to feel the heat of the day, when he looked up at the glass doors of the building and saw Agent Eleanor Wish walking through. She was looking down and digging a hand through her purse and hadn't noticed him. Quickly, and without analysing why, he ducked behind the phones and, using them as a shield, moved around them as she walked by. It was sunglasses she'd been looking for in the purse. Now she had them on as she walked past the protesters without even a glance in their direction. She headed up Veteran Avenue to Wilshire Boulevard. Bosch knew the federal garage was under the building. Wish was walking in the opposite direction. She was going somewhere nearby. The phone rang. "Harry, they have your file too. The FBI. What's going on?" Edgar's voice was urgent and confused. He didn't like waves. He didn't like mysteries. He was a straight 9-to-5 man. "I don't know what's going on. They wouldn't tell me," Bosch replied. "You head into the office. We'll talk there. If you get there before me, I want you to make a call over to the subway project. Personnel. See if they had Meadows working there. Try under the name Fields, too. Then just do the paper on the TV stabbing, like we said. Keep your end of the deal. I'll meet you there." "Harry, you told me you knew this guy, Meadows. Maybe we should tell 98 it's a conflict. That we ought to turn the case over to RHD or somebody else on the table." "We'll talk about it in a little while, Jed. Don't do anything or talk to anybody until I get there."
The Black Echo uses Harry's backstory as a major theme in its plot, and as he begins to relax with his new unofficial partner, FBI agent Eleanor Wish, he gradually reveals something of the complex man within. Paramount to this story is his time in Vietnam, where he was attached to a group of young men who had to crawl through the maze of tunnels dug by the Viet Cong, blowing them up or clearing them with guns and knives. The murdered man is another of these tunnel rats, and Connolly uses the story to tell a fascinating piece of history from an era many would rather forget. The title of this book, The Black Echo, is the name given by tunnel rats to the paralysing fear that could strike during a mission, leaving a man helpless and alone in the dark. Without preaching, Connolly shows how the experience of war, especially such a seemingly futile war, has scarred a generation and how its effects can last most of a lifetime.
Avery took two tentative steps towards the IAD car and then seemed to decide. What the heck? He moved quickly to the passenger side and got in. Avery identified himself as the owner of Beverly Hills Safe and Lock and briefly told Lewis what had been said during his two encounters with Bosch and Wish. Lewis listened without commenting, then opened the car door. Wait here, please. I'll be right back. Lewis walked briskly up to Wilshire. He stood on the corner a few moments, apparently looking for someone, then made an elaborate show of checking his watch. He came back to the car and slid in behind the wheel. On Wilshire, Clark was waiting in the alcove of a store entrance and watching the vault. He caught sight of Lewis's signal and strolled casually to the car. As Clark climbed into the back seat, Lewis said, "Mr. Avery here says that Bosch told him to go to Darling's and wait. Said there may be people in the vault. Come up from underground." "Did Bosch say what he would be doing?" Clark asked. "Not a word," Avery said. Everyone was silent, thinking. Lewis couldn't figure it. If Bosch was dirty, what was he doing? He thought some more on this and realized that if Bosch was involved in ripping off the vault, he was in a perfect situation by being the man calling the shots on the outside. He could confuse the coverage on the burglary. He could send all the manpower to the wrong place while his people in the vault went safely the opposite way. "He's got everybody by the short hairs," Lewis said, more to himself than to the other two men in the car. "Who? Bosch?" Clark asked. "He's running the caper. Nothing we can do but watch. We can't get in that vault. We can't go on underground without knowing where we're going. He's already got the Bureau SWAT team tied up down by the freeway. They're waiting for burglars that aren't coming. God damn it!" Wait a minute, Avery said. "The vault. You can get in it." Lewis turned fully round in his seat to look at Avery. The vault owner told them that federal banking regulations didn't apply to Beverly Hills Safe and Lock because it wasn't a bank, and how he had the computer code that would open the vault. "Did you tell this to Bosch?" Lewis asked. "Yesterday and today." "Did he already know?" "No." He seemed surprised. "He asked detailed questions on how long it would take to open the vault, what I had to do, things like that. Then today, when we had the alarm, I asked him if we should open it. He said no, just said to get out of there." "Damn," Lewis said excitedly. "I'd better call Irving." He leapt from the car and trotted to the payphones in front of Darling's. He dialed Irving at home and got no answer. He dialed the office and only got the duty officer. He had the officer page Irving with the payphone number. He then waited for 5 minutes, pacing in front of the phone and worrying about the time going by. The phone never rang. He used the one next to it to call the duty officer back to make sure Irving had been paged. He had. Lewis decided he couldn't wait. He would have to make this call himself, and it would be he who would become the hero. He left the bank of phones and went back to the car. "What did he say?" Clark asked. "We go in," Lewis said. He started the car.
Connolly's Los Angeles is nothing like the popular vision of the city. It is dark, poor, and dangerous, inhabited by the angry, the dispossessed, and the desperate. This backdrop is as much a character in the book as any of the people acting out the drama, and Connolly handles it with ease. The whole book, in fact, is one of the best debut novels I have ever read. The storyline is compelling, it has action and mystery, and yet also contains some very real characters about whom we come to care. Harry Bosch is one of the most successful literary creations of recent years and has now starred in 19 novels, numerous short stories, and a television series. The Black Echo stands well on its own, but also sets out the major themes the author tackles in the following books. It is a masterclass in writing serial fiction, but above all, it is a terrific read. If you are new to the books, I have to say I envy you, reading them for the first time.
From the magic of the mind to the excellence of eternity, this is the Book of the Month podcast from Southside Broadcasting. A whole new area of broadcasting excellence.
Here are some handy tips and information regarding your hospital bedside TV, radio and phone service. TV channels 1 to 5 are free to use at certain times every day, so check your screen for details. To help you keep in touch with friends and loved ones, outgoing calls are also free all day, every day, to landline numbers that begin with 01, 02 or 03. Radio channels can be listened to absolutely free at any time of day. If you fancy a film, we have over 80 great films to choose from, to suit all ages and all film tastes. Why not check out the free film trailers and see if there's anything you fancy? If the latest blockbuster film isn't your thing, then how about one of our classic films, such as The Great Escape, Rain Man, or Some Like It Hot?
250.
250?
Yeah.
You're crazy. You ought to be locked up. You too. 250 guys just walking down the road just like that.
Of course, I'm an excellent driver.
You know how to drive?
Yeah.
Right now! You never touch the steering wheel when I'm driving. Do you hear me?
Of course, I don't have my underwear.
To find out more about Bedside Entertainment Services and find a bundle to suit your needs, just pick up the Bedside phone and speak to the friendly Hospedia customer care team. They'll help you find the best deal. And remember, to contact Hospital Radio, just pick up the phone and dial star 800.
Parkville is a purpose-built residential care centre situated at the heart of Middlesbrough and providing personalised care in a modern and homely environment. Parkville aims to help older people to continue to live independent and active lives within the wider community, whilst benefiting from the care and support of an experienced and dedicated team of nursing and care staff. At Parkville, we provide facilities to accommodate elderly residential and nursing service users. To find out more, please telephone 01642 223334 or visit our website at parkvillecarecentre.com. Parkville Care Centre. Care to call us home.
In today's crowded world, it's sometimes hard to get heard.
And sometimes you need a little extra push to be heard. That's where Manila PR can help. We specialise in online radio and press for independent bands, with prices to match, and have been doing so for the last decade. So if you have a noise to make, make it with Manila. Visit manilapr.com now.
Offering prestigious accommodation, ensuite facilities and high-quality care for residents provided 24/7 by qualifying nurses and carers, Roseville Care Centre provides the perfect home for its residents' emotional, spiritual, social, physical and intellectual needs. A purpose-built residential care facility in the heart of Ingleby Barwick, Roseville is a care centre which provides facilities to accommodate elderly residential and nursing service users, offering both short and long stay accommodation, as well as respite and daycare. To find out more, please telephone 01642 308188 88 or visit our website rosevillecarecentre.com. Roseville Care Centre.
Book of the Month on Southside Broadcasting. Podbean.com. Probably the best download decision you'll ever make.
So, Hieronymus Bosch, Harry, of course, to his friends, Michael Connolly, The Black Echo, and a newbie for Book of the Month to actually step in very capably to Rob Nichols' shoes, and indeed, Marie Edwards, that would be Iona Piers. Iona, welcome, how are you?
Hi, I'm good, thanks.
What did you make of Michael Connolly's The Black Echo?
I really enjoyed it. I think it's the first crime fiction book I've ever read, so I wasn't really sure what to expect, but it was really entertaining and really easy to get through. Very straightforward, but really entertaining.
You surprised me initially, because I know when we passed on to you, you pretty much read the first, I say chapter, because they're divided into expanded chapters, really, going on a day-by-day basis as the narrative proceeds. I mean, did it grab you from the start? I mean, did you sort of feel that this is something you wanted to find out more about? Did you feel that Connolly had managed to sort of hook the reader in from an early part?
Yeah, I think so. I think from the very first page, you want to know who it is who's doing the graffiti and who he's hiding from. And, yeah, it was a really good hook.
hard-boiled detective fiction is something which goes back to the 1920s and probably before then. It's actually got its roots in Arthur Conan Doyle's mystery fiction and lines from that. But if we talk about The Big Heat, we talk about Raymond Chandler, we talk about his fictitious character Philip Marlowe. Are you familiar with any of those characters, or are they just sort of parts of Hollywood history that you sort of know about?
I sort of know about them, yeah. I've never read really anything about them, but I have heard of them.
I mean, it was that area which certainly, from my point of view, I thought Connolly, and indeed, I think an interview at the back of the taxi, actually, he's able to go on to say that he's influenced not only by a former tutor who brought on the Hieronymus Bosch aspect, but he's also influenced by, obviously, the writings of Raymond Chandler and the creation of Philip Marlowe. And I felt that really what we had with Harry Bosch was somebody who was a kind of updated version of that, in an era of Los Angeles which clearly had its seedy underbelly that was there and had it always actually been there. If I had a criticism, and I'll talk to Jenny about this in a few seconds, it might be that actually it was too formulaic. I know it's sort of good formulaic fiction, but for those of us who had a diet of Starsky and Hutch, Kojak, Miami Vice and so on, once you had the words internal affairs in that particular series episode, you pretty much knew that the hero was going to have to go through some kind of purgatory before they got out of it in the end, okay, and that probably the ending for Internal Affairs wouldn't be very good. So, I don't know, it sort of went along that sort of line. Plus, of course, there are those of us who kind of will recognise Michael Connelly from the series Castle, which mixes and matches real writers, i.e. Michael Connelly and Stephen J. Cannell, with, of course, fictitious ones, Nick Castle, writing his own sort of system. I don't know, Jenny, have you come across Castle before? So.
I've seen it on, but I haven't had a chance to look at it yet.
Heading towards its seventh series. Actually, just been committed, as indeed one of the assistant directors said, to go to eight, possibly nine series. So it's just going on from that perspective. And that was something else which I thought, aha, so we've got all that. And as Stephen J. Cannell, of course, who has co-starred with Michael Connelly on Castle, would say, Michael Connelly, of course, being an actor as well as a writer, The A-Team was a classic Stephen J. Cannell series, as was indeed Hunter in the 80s, where you have male lead with female sidekick, and you get a whole range of classic sort of notions of Vietnam, which clearly even Magnum PI channels. So that's why, Jenny, I possibly would say for me it did it all well, but it simply took a lot of those ingredients and said, right, well, instead of Tom Selleck as Harry Bosch, you know, we'll put in, as indeed the new series has actually gone, Titus Bolivar. Obviously he's online at present to actually sort of speak to me. Yes, there we are. Titus Welliver, so who's actually there. Nice to see Titus Welliver, interesting named actor, playing Hieronymus Bosch. Obviously casting directors in Hollywood haven't quite lost their sense of humour. But you enjoyed it, Jenny.
I did enjoy it. I actually came to the series in the middle. I didn't read this one first, and I wish in some ways I had, because it does set out a lot of what Connolly explores. I like the series because it goes almost in real time through Harry's life. I mean, he's been retired and he's back again now. In fact, he's back again for book 20, I think, and which is due to be released soon.
This is an interesting thing, because the line that we actually had there about him appearing to leave the force because part of his experiences were used for a Hollywood TV series is exactly the plot that Castle actually has in certain ways, because Castle is actually writing about a police officer, this case a female police officer, and it's that kind of setup. So it's something which is a well-worked plot, but then, as Mickey Spillane would actually say, what else is new with respect to hard-boiled detective fiction?
Well, yes. And I think a lot of its saving grace is it doesn't rely on great buckets of gore splashed across everything. And the characters are very good. The characters are very well drawn, and we do actually care about them. And the characters are consistent and develop through the series. And that's not always the case.
That line about being a contemporary equivalent of Philip Marlowe and the Raymond Chandler era, is that a fair comment?
I think it is, actually, yes. But I think everybody who writes stands on the shoulders of whoever was writing before. It's very hard to find anything completely new. The sort of gold thing that we want is to find a new way of disposing of a body, for example. There aren't that many. They've all been used.
In terms of the crime genre, because it's one that you're familiar with yourself, it's one that you've written yourself with the Alex Hastings trilogy and growing on from that perspective, are there any areas that maybe have influenced you from Michael Connelly's? Admittedly, he's writing about Los Angeles, he's writing about seedy Los Angeles, etc., whereas you're writing mostly about the West Country and the levels from there. Were there sort of aspects we thought, oh, that was quite an interesting line, I might use that?
We both have, I have to say, I think a contempt for managerialism. It's a little more obvious in Harry Bosch, but it's becoming fairly obvious in my books. And we also, I think, share that sense of isolation from their protagonist.
Iona, would you pick up another novel by Michael Connelly?
Yeah, definitely. I didn't know it was part of the series at first, but I'm definitely looking to buy the next one and find out what happens.
Actually, buy the next one. It's amazing. It's just, wow. Every so often you get a genuine diamond that comes through, so excellent stuff on that side of things. And again, Harry, I'm thinking obviously Clint Eastwood and Dirty Harry. Do you think there are elements of that that comes across? I mean, somebody who's working outside the rules, doing his own stuff. Do you feel lucky punk, Jenny? Do you think that's an element that comes across?
Actually, Dirty Harry was the original Harry Bosch.
Mm. Yeah, I had a
that's
sense,
where he came
yes,
from.
Yes, yeah, a sense that I was working through. So, we come now to, of course, the scores on the doors and the various other bits and pieces. Iona, what would you provide for the Harry Bosch novel, first one, by Michael Connelly, that's entitled The Black Echo?
I'd say 7.5.
7 to 7.5, okay. I'm going to go for an 8. Purely because, again, I think it's good, it's well good, but it did seem to be a little bit formulaic. Although I did quite like, in one sense, something which I thought I wouldn't, instead of using chapters, say, that artifice of actually doing a chunk of time, a narrative time, per day as we go through what was a fairly busy week for Harry Bosch, let's face
yes.
it. It's fairly busy in all sorts of ways. But Jenny, what would you go for?
I'll give it 8.5. I'm a fan of this man and his writing.
Well, there we have it. Detective Harry Bosch won't let the law get in the way of solving a case. I suppose it sounds a lot better if you actually have a deep voice as American volume on that side of things. But what the heck? MichaelConnelly.co.uk, of course, is the go-to website from that perspective. Next month, Jenny, where do we go?
Right, next month we are going to look at Alan Sillitoe's modern classic, Saturday Night and Sunday Morning, and I believe we're going to do it in Saltburn.
It will be live at the Book Corner, thanks to Jenna Warren, of course, who's just come out of Independent Booksellers Week, and it'll also be a precursor before the Saltburn Food Festival. Is it the International Food Festival? What's the official title
for
that?
It's the Saltburn Food Festival. We're working on the international bit, and soon.
Clearly, as far as Alan Sillitoe is actually concerned, there won't be any poisoning in Saturday Night and Sunday Morning, but it is, I feel, not giving too many spoilers away, a lovely precursor to the likes of Coronation Street kitchen sink dramas and Alan Sillitoe being an angry young man.
Yes,
because he was obviously, if you're talking John Osborne, Alan Sillitoe, you're into that field of Iona, people who actually went to art college in the 50s and benefited from some sort of thing called education, I think it's called. You know,
I think it might have been, I can't remember.
That's right. Very strange, but that's Saturday Night and Sunday Morning, of course. You might have seen the movie as well, one of the critically acclaimed British black and white or monochrome movies, but not major box office classics, I think it's fair to say, if you're looking at the numbers. Saturday Night, Sunday Morning, Look Back in Anger, of course, being the other one that springs to mind. They were all good movies in their own way. They weren't maybe as mega successful as the Bond movies, for instance.
Yeah, I'd throw Loneliness of the Long Distance Runner in there as well, and possibly Billy Liar, which I think is brilliant.
And if we're looking for that Lindsay Anderson yes. sort of line from that perspective. Anyway, that's all to come. It's been another tremendously successful Book of the Month. Lots of the other Book of the Months are available for download. Sarah Waters fans continue to do so on a regular basis, which is great stuff, keeping it at number one in terms of the Book of the Month sequence. Iona Piers, have you enjoyed your first experience of the Book of the Month podcast?
I have. It's been great.
There we are, you see. And Jenny, obviously, back again next month in Saltburn.
Jenny Finch, author, creator of The Drowners and Death of the Elverman, and general Renaissance woman, your host for the Book of the Month.